In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. We're going to be looking today at the second Sunday in Lent, which is Transfiguration Sunday. The first week in Lent is in cycle A, which is the oldest one. We have the temptation of Jesus in the desert. The second one, we have the Transfiguration, and we'll be meditating on that. And then we start Water Sunday, Light Sunday, Life Sunday. The dialogue with the Samaritan woman, the healing of the blind man, and the raising of Lazarus. And that's how we prepare for our own entry to renew our baptism, to take our life more seriously, and to move with the whole Church of God. So, this second Sunday then, is going to be the theme of the gospel is the Transfiguration, and we'll discuss that when we get there. The first section that I want to have this week, and something similar next week, is on the priesthood. You know, John Paul II describes a certain kind of theology as lived theology. It's the way the mystics experience these divine realities. It's a lived theology. And it's amazing how many of them, four I know, three are public and one I know, but she doesn't want to be made public. The Lord is instructed about the priesthood in a remarkable way. There's Conchita, who I'm going to be quoting a lot. There's Catherine Daugherty, the foundress of Madonna House. And there's Anne, a woman in Ireland who writes extensively and is the foundress of that movement, The Direction for Our Times. All right about the priesthood. So I think it's worth us listening to them to get a deeper sense of our identity, especially because the seminary formation for most of us, I was in a monastery, I was lucky, was not good. I think when you hear these texts, this is the Lord, for the most part, it's the Lord speaking to Conchita. I think it will help to give us all a deeper sense of the dignity and responsibility that was given to us. I have been to seminaries where they talk about ministry, service, but they never talk about character. You know, a bond that's ontological as well as psychological with Jesus. It's awesome. Anyway, we're going to start. This is the first one of these I want to read. The Father, with his loving gaze of infinite tenderness, put in me his word, his intelligence, our understanding, his power, his love, and in that eternal gaze that I understood and felt, the priests were engendered in the priest. In other words, when the word from all eternity was engendered, there was no when. The priests were engendered. Now, you know, if you remember, Ephesians 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So, all the baptized have been chosen in Christ. But what our Lord is saying here is that the priests are already consecrated in him. Another one, this is Conchita herself. Oh, I should tell you about Conchita. Her real name is Concepcion Cabrera de Armida. Conchita is a Spanish nickname for Concepcion. You can look her up in the Wikipedia if you want. She was born on December 8th in 1862 and died in March of 1937. She had many children. I've forgotten how many already. She was a mother, a wife. Later in life, she founded a religious order of men, a religious order of women, still staying a mother of her children. People have said she's been declared venerable by John Paul II. People have said that on the basis of what she wrote about the Trinity alone, she could be a doctor of the Church. So these are the things the Lord said to her about the priesthood. From all eternity, the Father already took pleasure in seeing his most beloved Son in priests, and for that very reason he loved them. From all eternity, the priests were loved, we were loved with a special love in Christ. I'm going to read one more. It's rather long. Since the day I was incarnated in Mary, since I put myself at the loving service of my Father, telling him, here I am, I did not put myself alone at his service, but with all the priests in me, created by my Father in Mary through the work of the Holy Spirit. Seeing all the priests in me, with them I was born in Bethlehem, I worked in Nazareth, I made conversations in Galilee, I suffered in Jerusalem, I died on Calvary, and I was raised. I have always carried in my heart that holy and fruitful fiber of my Father, my priests. It's amazing to listen to that. That's us, those of us who are priests listening to this. A few other short ones. My priests, those pieces of my own heart, the Lord says. Another one. I do not offer myself alone at masses, but with me I offer all the world's priests, because they are all in me, the only priest, by reason of my unity. Since I incarnated in Mary, since I put myself with the loving disposition of my Father, telling him, here I am, he did not put me alone in his dispossession for any sacrifice, but with all priests in me. One more. If the priest has the duty to make souls love Jesus Christ crucified, he must first crucify himself, because he can only appreciate the value of sacrifice and its sweet consequences if he sacrifices himself. Now, the Lord is under no illusions about us and our need for conversion, our need to have a formation of our heart, not just of our mind. We tend to intellectualize everything, but it's our heart that has to be formed in love to make room for the Lord Christ to really form us. Anyway, this is one of the things he said to Conchita. I will tell you a very deep secret. Graces accumulate upon my church, as well as the treasures, the riches, the most fertile sources of the merits of the incarnate Word. But each day, even those who are called mine close the doors to the Holy Spirit. Satan determines the church through the weakness and dissipation of those who should be the guardians of the sanctuary. Souls languish through want of directors possessed of the divine and human love. A man and of the Holy Spirit, my church, so beautiful and rich, must leave her treasures locked up, for she does not know to whom distribute them. Saddest thing is that these infinite treasures of grace I bought at the price of my blood remain inactive in my church due to the want of laborers who are holy. They understand in their own way the spiritual life, and due to lack of profound studies in this matter, due to ignorance and negligence, they leave unachieved the design of God on a great number of souls. I want to love in my priests. I want interior life. I want those consecrated souls to live most closely in me. These are the calls that sober us up, I think. I want to read a bit of a sort of a poem of Catherine Doherty. The heart of a priest is a chalice of love. The heart of the priest is the trysting place of human and divine love. A priest is a man whose goal is to be another Christ. A priest is a man who loves to serve. You know, the first time I used to hear these things, I said, it's a bit over the top. You, of course, were called to be saints, but it's a bit over the top. I'm ordained more than 50 years now, 55 actually, and I have begun to realize that this is absolutely true, and we cannot back away from it. We have to take responsibility for it, and we have to lead a life of prayer, of mortification, of devotion, of caution, so that the Lord can live and work in us, transform us. Because the priesthood, in a transformed way, is meant to be a bronze wall around the church in the times that are coming. We need to be very alert, because the Holy Spirit is moving in us, leading us, and we have these words which are so powerful. In another place, this is Conchita again, I want to banish apathy from their hearts and make them burn with zeal for my glory. I want to activate the divine life of so many souls who belong to me and who are failing. I want to destroy the indifference which paralyzes God's action and which deprives priests of my graces. This is the call to priesthood. And those of you who aren't priests, please pray for us. We've been given more than we can handle, and we need to be faithful to our Lord Jesus and give ourselves as victims to Him and learn what it means to suffer in great joy. It sounds dramatic, but it's not. It's pretty ordinary, but it is true and it's very intense. And so, this message to priests, I could give you some more examples, but I've given you enough. Well, I'm going to give you one more about the... My heart is saddened because my ministers are sleeping. This was an allusion to the agony in the garden. On many occasions, they are the first to conform themselves to superficial piety. They do not make the cross enter souls, and still less do they reveal to them the Holy Spirit. I tell you again in greatest confidence that routine has deeply penetrated the sanctuary. This devotion in spirit and in truth is completely extinguished in numerous communities. May my ministers react through the Holy Spirit. May they appreciate to the full the interior life. You see, the occupational hazard for us is that we do the busy work because absolutely it's easy. And we avoid the hard work, which is a deep interior life, fidelity to Jesus, and a discipline that keeps us with Him.